That was a blessing. I tell you, if they made a CD, I'd buy it.
You would.
Kenneth. Hey, man, you got some talented kids over there. Praise the Lord. As I've said before, what a blessing it is to see talent, talents and ability given to the Lord and used for the Lord, and especially with young people. And that's where I'm going to be going this morning. Well, not just young people. We're going to go ahead and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, all right? Ecclesiastes chapter 12. All right. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Ecclesiastes. Yeah, that does help, doesn't it? At least it gets you going the direction. I'm not even sure I can say all the books of the Bible. I know I used to. I haven't said them in a long time. All right. Isn't this good to get back together again? This is great. This is really great. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And, verses 1 through 7. I'll go ahead and read through those verses right now, and then I'm going to go back over them. But let's just read those first seven verses right now. He says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out at the windows, out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." All right, with that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning, and again, Lord, we're so grateful to be able to be back gathering together again. And Lord, we just thank you for things that we can learn, lessons we can learn as we go through life. We never would have guessed that we would have been six straight Sundays out of church, and here we are back again. Certainly, it makes us grateful for it. Help us, Lord, to never take things for granted. Some of the things that happen on a routine basis, Lord, help us to be thankful for the routine. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to fellowship, to see people again, not just maybe text or call on a phone, but be able to see folks and fellowship. It's a great thing. So we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, for what you've done for us. We just thank you for our great salvation in Christ. You've saved us. Those of us here that know Christ, Lord, you've washed us by the precious blood of the Lamb. And we certainly sang about that this morning. And Lord, we are just grateful for the promises that you give to us. So now as we take this time to open up your word, and by the way, Lord, thank you for the time that we've had up till now, being able to sing to you, the specials we've heard, just the fellowship. But now as we look into your word, we do pray that you'd help us. I pray you help me. Lord, this is where I'm just fearful. I don't want to get in your way. I know I do it too often. I want to step back and get out of your way, so help me, and I pray that you'd be able to work through me, because people don't need me, they don't need to hear my voice, but they need to hear from you, so I pray that each and every one of us would be in tune to that, and that you'd be able to speak to hearts today. I pray, Lord, for all of the needs that are represented here today. I pray you'd be able to simply address each one and work in the hearts of your people here. There are some that are hurting. There are some that, you know, maybe you're rejoicing over some things, and that's a great thing. There are some that are just in the middle of some tough trials. I pray you help them. There may be somebody here, and maybe even a few that don't know you as their Savior. So we pray that you'd work in their hearts and and show them that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. So we thank you. We pray that you'd bless. Again, I pray that you would be in our midst and that Christ would be glorified. Fill me with your Spirit. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this is Solomon, and Solomon had just some great opportunities in his life. When you read his story, it's just amazing. But Solomon is, he's gotten older. Solomon's gotten older, and he's learned some things. When you read about Solomon at the beginning, he had a great start. I mean, the son of David and the kingdom, when you read about it in 1 and 2 Kings and in the Chronicles, when you read about Solomon, blow your socks off what God did for him and what a good start. But he went off on a bad trail. Ultimately, over time, he kind of comes back, and this is where he's at. He's older, and he's lived out life, and he's just kind of putting things in perspective. The Bible tells us, by the way, because this life goes by very, very quickly. I'm just seeing it in my own life. We know that the Bible says that life is but a vapor, and it appeareth for a little time, and it says that in James. It appeareth for just a little while, and then it vanisheth away. Now, I've had a lot of opportunities as a pastor, as an assistant pastor at Treasure Valley Baptist, because that was a church of 1,000 people, and as one of the assistant pastors, I was doing, I did over 50 funerals, over that time. And then I've done many here. I've done a bunch of weddings. I've had the opportunity to do a lot of those things. I think about the funerals and the dear departed saints, that I had the opportunity to do a funeral for. And then I'd get out and go to a graveside service and had the opportunity to walk through a lot of cemeteries. And through seeing a whole lot of tombstones, which does remind me of one little joke, okay? There was a mom and her little girl. I just gotta slip it in, you gotta have a little laugh, right? And this mom and her little girl were walking along, and the little girl's looking at all the tombstones, and then, she says to her mom, "Mom, do they ever bury two people in one grave?" And she said, "No, of course not. Why do you say that?" Well, she says, "Well, this one says, here lies a lawyer and a good man." But walking through cemeteries and looking at, and I like to look at tombstones. I just like to read the names. And I like to read some of the things that are written on those tombstones. And you see the date, and then you see a dash, and you see another date. And I realize when it comes right down to it, that dash represented a whole life. That dash represented a whole life that really passed away very quickly, like the Bible says. It may have been 98 years old, yet it passed like a vapor. Yep. I just saw an interview with a 103-year-old veteran. And I'm so grateful for the veterans. Amen. Yep. Thank you for those who've served. And I think 103 years old, and he still had his wits, and he was still sharp. But I think he's not going to be real long, I wouldn't think, before he's going to pass away, because life just goes by so quick. In all of Solomon's observations in life, and again, no doubt, he's an older man as he writes this here. And he made tons of mistakes, as I referred to just a little bit ago, and you know that if you've read through your Bible and you've read about Solomon. Yet he comes to this conclusion, and that's those last two verses of the book of Ecclesiastes, right there in chapter 12, when he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." That's to fear God and keep his commandments, he says. Then he says in verse 14, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So this morning, with that in mind, and you look at what Solomon learned out of his life, that this morning I want to preach a message that I've entitled "A Charge to the Saints." A charge to the saints. I believe without a doubt we're certainly in the last part of the last days.
And if there was ever a time to do God's will, folks, it's right now. I mean, we just got, you know, well, we're not done with it, but we've, you know, as far as our part here in our Idaho, it's nice to be back in business again. Amen? Now, listen, a lot of people are certainly hurt, and I don't want to make that announcement seem so casual. I mean, it didn't affect my life tremendously as a pastor. Yeah, I had some adjustments to make. I feel for people who've lost their businesses. I feel for people who lost their lives. I know without a doubt that the people who've come to know Christ as their Savior as a result of this, praise the Lord for that. So I don't want to take it lightly what's taken place, but we just had something, and as it continues to go on, this is it's around the whole globe. I think it's been hyped up to a great degree, okay? I'll just say that. I don't know where that starts and where that all ends. There's a lot of things behind all of this, and I can't see it all. All I know is one thing, God's above it all. And so I'm good with that. I really am. And God says he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So I'm grateful. I haven't been, again, I know I got to be careful what I say and try to qualify my statements. Yeah, there's people that have gone through some rough, rough times. But just in light of what we've gone through this pandemic, I mean, God has just shored me up. And I know he's done that for you. And he tells us again that he's not given us that spirit of fear. But if there ever was a time, folks, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, to do God's will and to serve him, it is right now. Because first of all, I mean, I think the end times are here. I think the Lord could come back at any time. But as I mentioned also, life goes by so quickly. And if you just let it begin to go and it takes on a momentum of its own, and before you know it, you're toward the end of your life and you realize, I didn't give my life to God. So I want to encourage each and every person here today. I want to be an exhorter. I want to say, as Peter said, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of these things. And I think it's good to get stirred up, don't you? I think it's good to get stirred up, you know, about some things. I look at what it's happening in this country. And just, man, there's just some people that want to get into power that I don't want to see get into power. And it just stirs me up. Folks, get stirred up now and then. It's not a bad thing. The Lord Jesus got stirred up when he went through the temple and they were not doing right things. And, man, he turned over those tables and the money changers went scattering like cockroaches. And listen, he did not put up with that. And God wants us to have, you know, to get excited and alarmed and stirred up about some things that take place in our country. But I want to start off, as I said, about being an exhorter. I want to start off by making a charge to our youth. By making a charge to our youth. You see, verse 1 says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Young people, I hope you're listening to me. I know some of you are coloring in books, and that's fine. But I hope with one eye you can color and one eye you can look at me. Both ears may be listening to me, all right? Let me just say this, young people, we've got young people. I see, one of the things that I see that just saddens me is churches that just get old and there's no more young people in them. That's a sad thing. And it's not the way God intends it to be. He wants to see young people because they are our future leaders. They're going to be the ones that will take those positions in a church one day. They are the ones that need to replace the old guard as they pass on. And so it's just good to see young people. Paul said this to Timothy. Oh, let me finish reading verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Before those evil days come, because they're ahead. There's a lot of evil days ahead. I got to just say this. I'm interrupting myself a whole lot. I don't know. These thoughts just keep coming to me. But I just like watching the little guys run around. And I think it was Brother Fussell and I, we were looking at a kid the other night, and just he's just running around, just kind of, I don't know if it was, well, whoever, but just these kids are just carefree. They don't even worry about it. You could just say, aren't you worried about the coronavirus? And they're like, what? And then they just go running. I just love that carefreeness about children. That's why the Lord says that we ought to be more like children in that way. We ought to just be, my father's got all of this. He's got it all. He's got this, right? That's a little phrase that likes to be used. He's got this. So I'm not worried because God's got all this. And he says, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So young people, while you're young, before you start walking around like this, okay? I'm walking around like that more and more. I get out there and work on something. By the way, that basketball court is coming along. But I've done a lot of digging. And my back says, yeah, you've done a lot of digging. My back just said, amen. I heard my back say that. And but you know, young people, before you just start getting all old and you can't even hear anymore, right now, this is the time to serve the Lord. This is the time to serve God. I'm looking at these guys right here and young people over here. The Hollands right over there. I see young people, not the older ones, you guys. Those young ones, yeah. Listen, this is the time right now to serve God. This is the time to get to know God. In 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. He said, Timothy, you're a young preacher. Be an example as a young person. Don't let your youth be despised by anybody. You can't help but be young, but just serve God. And then he said later in that epistle, he says, O man of God, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Let me just say, listen, young people, I want to encourage you to do right. To do the right things. Yeah, kids are squirrely and they get into goofy things and they like to, you know, they like to put mice in little sandwich bags and put them in the microwave and watch what happens. My sons did that, okay? They took the neighbor's cat and, well, I won't tell you what happened with that neighbor's cat. So kids do goofy things. I'm not encouraging all of that. I'm just saying kids will be kids. Well, boy, let me just encourage you to make, you know, instead of some, you know, basketball player, let the Lord Jesus Christ be your hero. Let the Lord Jesus Christ be the one that, you know, if you could put a picture of him on the wall, I don't suggest pictures of the Lord, you know, what I'm saying all that, but it ought to be the Lord Jesus in your heart. He's the one that I want to be like him. I want to be like Mike way back in the day, Michael Jordan, good basketball player, great basketball player, but listen, be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, if you don't, I'll just say this, there are consequences. There are consequences if you don't, if you have that opportunity now as a young person. I didn't get saved till I was 19. I'm not trying to justify anything. I just wish, that would have been great if I could have got saved at the age of 5, but I didn't. So you got some here that have been saved when you're, you know, looking at these precious young people right here. And some very precious ladies too, okay. Now listen, you have an opportunity right now to know the Lord. And you have an opportunity to make a decision. So not to make a decision and not to live for God, there are consequences. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said this, every dissipation of youth has to be paid for with a draft on old age. In other words, what that means is if you squander your opportunities now to live for God, you will pay for it when you get older. Does that make sense? There's consequences when we make the wrong decisions. And listen, you know, this isn't a high pressure, oh, you better say, you know, I hope that just in your own hearts, young people, you just say, no, I don't want, you know, nobody has to pressure me. I want to just serve the Lord. I just want to follow him and, you know, and just do what he wants me to do. Let me just say something, young people, you can make a difference. You can make a difference in a church. I know as a young kid, I thought, I didn't think it a lot, but I remember thinking, who even notices me? I'm just a little kid. Oh, people do notice you. People notice a group of young kids up here singing for the Lord. People notice when you have a good attitude.
People notice when you have some good manners about you. People notice when you have respect to, you know, to somebody who's older. That's why I would say, And I never let my kids call an older person by their first name.
Right.
I just didn't do that. And maybe you do, that's your business. But when my kids did it, I mean, like, Mr. McKinney across the street, when we moved to Nampa, he was Mr. McKinney to me. He was a World War II veteran when we moved there. Man, Mr. McKinney, okay? And then Dale down the street was just as old, and I called him Dale, but my kids never called him Dale. He was Mr. Wright to my kids. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to go on that tangent for a long time, but listen, young people, just having some good etiquette, just having some respectfulness is something that is noticed by older folks. I was just talking to a guy that works in the Parks and Recreation, and he was over here at Ramsey Road Park, just talking to him the other day, and he's a maintenance guy, and he, keeps the parks looking nice, and he was just telling us about these young kids. They're just elementary school kids, he said. I'm getting a little emotional, but it broke my heart. I don't even know where this guy's at with the Lord. It was just a brief conversation, and he said, I mean, during this time, I haven't had a whole bunch of kids around because the parks have kind of been closed. It's been kind of nice, but when schools are in and those kids get out of school and they come to the parks, they thrash the parks. And he said those kids sit around and they're just using filthy language. I mean, they're just throwing F-bombs and things like that. And he says they'll even look at me when I'm around and they just call me names. And they even try to stand up to me, and I'm an adult. The guy's like 55, 60. Little kids doing that. Now, let me just say this, young people. Don't hang around with somebody like that. Man, don't hang around with somebody that's got a foul mouth. Don't hang around with somebody that just thinks that as a little kid, my goodness, you need to just go, man, I don't want any of that. But listen, let me say this about young people. There's a lot of good young people. I've seen a lot of good young people that have grown up and serving the Lord. But fortunately, in every war, and this is a war that we are in, when you think of actual war, there are casualties. There are casualties in the spiritual warfare that we go through, that we face. And I've watched kids grow up, and they were just gone when they got old enough, and they just wanted to just be out of church. I don't know all the reasons. I don't know what their home life was always like, far as I could tell. But I talked to so many of those kids through the years, a number of them, that had gone out into the world. And I'll tell you what, the world does a number on them. It's not a good thing. You think, oh yeah, I'm going to go out there, it's going to be great. It won't be. When the world gets a hold of you and the devil gets a hold of you, it's not a pretty picture. And I've watched a lot of those young people come back with their tails tucked between their legs, and even worse. Let me just give a charge to you young people to just do right. I encourage you to stay close to the Lord. Little Samuel, it says that he didn't know the Lord. When you read 1 Samuel chapters 1, 2, and 3, chapter 3, you start reading about little Samuel. He's been born now. Hannah couldn't have any children. Finally, she has Samuel. He's in the temple under the responsibility of Eli and his two degenerate sons. But he didn't know the Lord. But the Lord spoke to Samuel that one night. When you read that story, and after that, Samuel knew the Lord. And Samuel made a difference in his generation. The Bible says that God didn't let any of his words just fall to the ground. God used him. God used a Samuel from a little boy all the way to an old man, because he just determined he was going to give his life to God. He was going to give his life to God and serve him. So Samuel, even as a little boy, got to know God. Let me just look at these young people. Maybe you're saved, but you haven't really got to know the Lord. Let me encourage you to get to know the Lord. Let me encourage you to get into that Bible and pray and say, Lord, I know you saved me, but I want to get to know you. I want to get to know you more and more as I go along in my life. Be like a Daniel who purposed in his heart, amen, that he wouldn't defile himself before the king. Purpose in your heart that you're going to draw close to God. Say like David in Psalm 5,
For unto thee will I pray, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. And again in Psalm 109 and verse 4, but I will give myself unto prayer. I like this following resolution that of a godly man. He lived a long time ago. I don't know much about him, but I read this about him when he was young. And his name was Taylor Smith. And he ended up being a pastor down the road. When he was a young man, he took as his motto four words: as now, so then. And he says, I took that motto to my heart. He said, and I made it a practice in my life. If as now, if I am careless and prayerless and slack and lazy in my youth, so shall I be when I'm older. As now, if I am careful and prayerful and studious while I am young, so shall I be increasingly as the days go by. He had enough wisdom to know what I'm going to determine now is going to set a path for me as I go down this road. That's why I would challenge you young people, make a decision. I know we've got some great young people, but you just don't want to, oh, well, hey, they're on the right path. You know what, parents, you know, man, it's everyday prayer. Everyday prayer for my children, you know. Yeah, I'm looking at the Hunters right there. You know, I'm looking at the Joneses over here and the Hollins and right here in front of me, you know, Spencer and Pixie or Paige. I'm not sure if she's going Paige, Pixie, whatever. Pixie, Paige, Pixie, Paige, Paige, Pixie. I don't know, I'm embarrassing her. We got kids all around, right over here, young guys, right? Listen. Oh, yeah, and the Lucateros right over there. Yeah, Ian was just kind of doing something on Lily's shoulder. That's a good thing. Great kids. We got some great kids. But you can make a decision right now. You can make a decision right now. Lord, I want you to use my life. I'm only 6. I'm only 8. I'm only 12. I'm only 15. But I want you to use me. You can do that.
So I make that charge to you, young people. It's some good things to live by, what we just read about that Taylor Smith. Be like a Nehemiah, who when Sanballat and Geshem, remember those dirty creeps? They tried to get him to leave the wall that he was building, and they wanted to meet him in the Valley of Ono. And he said, why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? He said, no way! I'm not coming down. God's called me to do this, and this is what I'm going to do. Let me just say this, young people. There's going to always be some temptations to go down a road that you shouldn't go. Listen, you're going to make some bad decisions, but I hope you'll always just give those things to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. And God will help you to do right. God will help you to do the right thing. Follow the example of a Timothy young person. Don't lose your faith. And then secondly, let me make a charge to those in middle life. And I look at verse 2. I'll just put middle life there. Because I certainly see the older down the road here, but I'll put the middle life here. It's in verse 2, while the sun, and he's just as an extension of verse 1, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. He's saying, listen, you know, remember getting older. Now, you have to decide which group you belong in, all right? I kind of border between, you know, youth and middle age. That's where I believe I'm at. I know some of you are saying you are definitely in the state of denial. All right. It's all right. That's where I choose to be, right? Now, as I speak of this middle time of life, I'm speaking to those who have left youthhood and have begun to turn the corner into this middle time of life. I'm not just speaking, again, of somebody in their 40s or somebody's in their 50s, but even those who are just newly married. You've turned a corner. We've heard it said before, and rightly so, that most of life kind of is lived right between the 40-yard lines. Now, what does that mean? Well, in a football game, you know, inside the 20, either side is called the red zone. That's where all the action is, right? So between the 40s is in the middle of the field, and it's a little bit more boring, right? Not as much happening.
Without a doubt, it's a good description of what middle time or the middle time of life is. It is a time of raising kids, of working a job and hopefully becoming established in it and settling into a home. We find that just the nature of this time, it can put us into a routine. And sometimes we get to despising that routine. Well, let me just say, there's definitely a good side to a routine. I think I'd rather be, in the midst of a routine than in a hospital bed, okay? You know what I'm saying? So it's nice to be in a routine. And herein, let me say this, can sometimes lie the danger for many of us, and that is to become satisfied. You get to be satisfied, to lose your vision because you get caught in a routine. George W. Truett was a great preacher back in the early 1900s in Texas, and he says on this matter, he says, young men dream dreams like Joseph dreamed. Little children dream dreams. The little boy says, wait until I'm a man and I will do so and so. But after we get to be men and women and out into the thick of the fight and the years come on with all their battles and their burdens, the peril is we shall lose sight of visions and look downward with our eyes, not toward the hills from whence cometh our help. Oh, the peril when idealism is lost, when a man does not dream dreams anymore, when he cannot behold great visions anymore, when his hands and his brain and his heart are tired, when he quits dreaming, hoping, planning, building, how perilous his plight is when his idealism is lost. Sometimes, folks, that's what happens. We just get into a rut and we just live day to day and there's just not a whole lot to write home about. That's a sad commentary, but a lot of people have gone that route. I think of when the Lord Jesus was trying to teach the disciples a lesson about covetousness, against covetousness. He told them a parable about that rich man. The rich man who's, he was just rolling in it and all of his crops were coming in and his barns were being filled. And what does it say about that man? Again, this was a made-up story. It's a parable. But the Lord was trying to teach a lesson. And that man, after he says, well, man, all my barns are filled. What am I going to do? I'm going to have to tear them down and build bigger ones. And he does that. And then he says in verse 19, this man, he says, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, the idea is that, man, I've stockpiled all of this. Now I'm just going to live off the fat of the land. I've kind of slain my Goliaths. I've done all the things I want to do. Now I'm just going to rest easy, just going to rest on my laurels. Is that really where we want to go? But folks, that's definitely a temptation out there. Today I want to encourage you and myself to get at it, to not lose that vision. You know, we have a 2020 vision for souls, but to not lose the vision that God has put into your heart. Hopefully God's put that into your heart and you've allowed him to do that. But let me just say this, stay faithful during this time of life while you're at midfield on the gridiron. While life can often get common and routine, C.H. Spurgeon said this, I do like to see our Christianity brought out in everyday life. Do not tell me about the godliness of your church. Okay, that's kind of like a given is what he's saying. Tell me about the godliness of your shop. Tell me about the godliness of your desk at work. Is there a lot of godliness that takes place there? Tell me about the godliness that takes place, homemakers, moms. Tell me the godliness that takes place in your kitchen, at the dining room table. Let me see how grace enables you to be patient when it's cold or joyful when the bills stack up, and how to be industrious in excessive labor. Though grace is no common thing, yet it shines best in common things. Does that make sense?
To preach a sermon or to sing a hymn is but a little thing compared with the power to suffer hardship and hunger for Christ's sake. Listen, those little things, and if we can approach those little things with the grace of God, my goodness, that's how to approach life. It's like, yeah, I've got the same things I do every day. Well, then do them for Christ. Do them in honor of Him. Say, Lord, yeah, I work in a factory and I do the same thing over and over and over and over all day long. Well, then do it to the glory of God. Do it with a smile on your face. So people will say, that person's got something different. I think I want that. When people see something different in our lives. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's not be weary in well-doing. Folks, let's stay at it. Don't lose heart. Just do what God has called you and I to do.
It's so easy to get soft
and to lose momentum.
You know, one day I was driving to work, well, which, you know, Treasure Valley Baptist, I was on staff, and I was driving, and it was trash day in this particular neighborhood I was cutting through. I always go through Stoddard. Just in a trash can. There was tons of trash cans all lined up the street. But one of them, there was some movement going on. You know, when you see movement, it just kind of attracts your vision, you know? And, you know, so here's the top of the trash can, and I saw something like that. And I looked and I thought, oh, it was a helium balloon, right? It was a helium balloon in the trash can. He was not quite the helium balloon that he probably was just a few days before. And I just thought, you know, I stopped and went, backed up and looked, helium balloon, smile on his face, have a nice day. And I thought, man, you know, his days had passed. I mean, probably just a few days ago, he was like Johnny's like favorite thing. Because kids in helium balloons, they're like the favorite thing. I remember when I first, that balloon's going up. How's it doing that? It's amazing. Having a helium balloon. That was like probably his best friend. And helium balloons, I'm sure that they just had this great, great relationship for the day or two, for his birthday, I'm sure, right? And, you know, it didn't take long, and all of a sudden, he's relegated now to the trash can. And here he is. He's in the trash can. I mean, you know, the trash man's coming to him. That's like the Grim Reaper, right? But, I mean, you know, I'm watching, and I'm thinking it all out in my mind. My mind's a little, I know, my mind is not like the normal mind, and I'm just playing this all out. And I'm just thinking this helium balloon, I mean, it just reminds me, you know, of a lot of us. It's kind of lost we've lost a lot of our helium, haven't we? I mean, he's just like barely coming up. But one of the things that I noticed is he hadn't lost his smile. He was all crinkly, and a lot of the helium was gone, but he hadn't lost his smile, folks. He hadn't lost his smile. And folks, may we never lose our smile. Stay happy. Whatever it is that you're going through, as we get older in this life, don't lose sight of your vision, though the goal still seems out of sight. It says in Proverbs 29 and verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Someone once said, every day has a treasure somewhere within it, and be oh so diligent to seek it out. Every day has a silver lining. There might be a lot of dark clouds, but if we keep our eyes on the Lord, God turns those things around, and He blesses them. And I can say that with a firsthand testimony, that as I just praise the Lord, and I just say, Lord, yeah, this doesn't look like a good day, but I'm going to praise You. You're amazing. And God somehow turns that around. Even sometimes when the circumstances are no different, it's my whole attitude changes. God says, I'm going to bless you just for being thankful. And He'll do that for us, folks. Don't let your life become mundane. Keep from sinking your roots down here. Keep your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So I would say to you in middle life, don't lose your focus. Don't lose your focus. And then now finally, I wish to make a charge to all of the seniors. And we're going to look at verses 3 through 7. Now, I know we have none of them here today. There's no seniors here today, right?
They're all out there in live stream land. But let's take a look at verses 3 through 7. It says, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Now, he's referring to a house, but it's definitely, he's speaking about getting old as a person. Because, you know, the Bible speaks about the fact that our body is like a house. It's like a tabernacle. And it speaks to that over and over. So he's saying here, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders start ceasing. Wow. You know, what do they, you know, somebody said, what do you say to a woman in Kentucky? Nice tooth you got there, ma'am. I'm sorry. If you're from Kentucky, I don't know, I just came to mind. When you get older, you have less teeth. That's what I'm saying. Now, it says the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. You just don't see as clear. I just don't see. You know, I used to have really great vision at a distance. Now I'm like, what does that say? Oh, it said stop. I didn't see that. No, but I look at signs anymore, and I just like, I don't read them as clearly. Everything's getting a little darker. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. the volume gets lower. What? What? You can't imagine how many times I tell my wife, what? What? Some of you are just, I know that you can relate to this. Yeah, what? And it says, he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. I rise up like a whole bunch of times, and it doesn't take a whole lot anymore. I mean, I don't know if that's exactly what that's referring to. And all the daughters of the music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high. It seems like as you get older, I just get more and more fearful. I'm fearful anymore about stepping down steps. I never even gave them a thought anymore. If I'm going to take a step off the curb, I'm like, this is a little bit of a venture anymore. I mean, you know, when you don't have the great knees that you used to have. And you know what? I'm just saying that I find myself a little bit more fearful over things because, man, I used to have just confidence in my body being able to do things. And it says, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. And the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return. Everything's falling apart, is what we're saying, okay? When you get older, everything starts falling apart. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now, folks, like I said, there's probably no seniors in here, but it is possible that maybe there are a few, and maybe you just don't realize it. So I thought maybe a few of these might help you identify if you belong in this category. You know you're getting old when in the morning you hear snap, crackle, pop, and it isn't your breakfast cereal. Yeah, you might be getting old, right? Your children begin to look middle-aged. And some of them are collecting Social Security. If that's the case, you definitely are in the senior category. Your idea of a long trip is to the back of Walmart. Okay? You're definitely a senior, probably. And you sit in a rocking chair and you can't make it go. You are definitely a senior. I think we picked up a few converts here, huh? I heard of a 103-year-old man. He was a minister, and he was celebrating his 103rd birthday, and somebody asked for his formula for long life, and he said, don't die. That was his secret. Psalm 92 and verse 13 and 14 says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. You know, it's God's plan to bless us and to use us greatly all the way through our life, folks, to his glory. Not just the youth and not just the man in middle life, but most assuredly the older man and woman as well. So I charge you today, and I say it with the utmost respect to those of you that are the senior saints. And I'm right there as well. I mean, I really am, but let me just say this to those of you who are even beyond me. Don't quit on us. Don't quit on us. We need you. There might be some churches that want to push you out the door. Not here. not even for a moment. Continue to be the blessing that you are. Young people, let me say this, get to know these older saints. And older saints get to know the younger. Sometimes churches can just be real cliques, and people just stay in their age groups. Let's get to know one another. Amen? Spend time with them, you and me also. It'll greatly benefit. You and I would greatly benefit from their wisdom, from the things that God has given to them, from their experience, from their long walk with God. Don't let that fire burn out, senior saint. I like what Billy Sunday once said. He said, I'm against sin, and I'll kick it as long as I've got a foot, and I'll fight it as long as I've got a fist, and I'll butt it as long as I've got a head, and I'll bite it as long as I've got a tooth. And when I'm old and fistless and footless and toothless, I'll gum it till I go to glory and it goes home to perdition. That was somebody that had some fight. And you know, we need some senior saints that still have fight. They haven't given up. And we salute you because we look to you. I think of so many. I could just rattle off name after name of those, especially when I was younger, of those that I looked to that were senior saints. And they set an example for me. What a blessing. Proverbs 16:31 says, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. An old man, let me read you this poem. It's called The Bridge Builder. An old man traveling a lone highway came at the evening cold and gray to a chasm deep and wide. And the old man crossed in the twilight dim, for the sullen stream held no fears for him. But he turned when he reached the other side and builded a bridge to span the tide. Old man, cried a fellow pilgrim near, you are wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day, and you never again will pass this way. You have crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you a bridge at eventide? And the builder raised his old gray head. Good friend, on the path I've come, he said, there followeth after me today a youth whose feet will pass this way. This stream which has been is nothing to me. To that fair-haired boy may a pitfall be. He too must come in the twilight dim. Good friend, I am building this bridge for him. Senior saint, let me say this. Don't lose your fire. Don't lose your fire. We look up to you. Solomon was getting old, and he recognized, man, I've done a lot of wasting of my life. That's why he said to some young people, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. And for every other category of individual, wherever you are, your life is going to go by quickly. Give it to God. Give it to God, young person. Give it to God, those of you that are in the middle time of life. And those of you that are seniors. And just go out in a blaze. Just be on fire for Christ. And let us just look to you that leads us. Amen? Because God wants to do a lot of things in this last period of time. I don't want to be asleep at the wheel. I don't want to be on the sideline. I'd like to be right in the mix of those who go forward for Christ. Amen? And so I put that challenge out to you today, an exhortation, a charge to the saints. Now, if you're here without Christ, I certainly put out an invitation to you as well, and that is to trust Christ as your Savior. Jesus died for you on a cross. He wants to save you and give you eternal life. He paid for every one of your sins, and he'll save you today. He's a living Savior. He rose from that grave, and he's up in heaven, and he'll come into your life if you're lost. And as we have an invitation in just a moment, I hope you'll come, and we can show you from the Bible how to be saved. I'll just say this, folks. Whatever you do with this charge, I just hope you'll just look to the Lord and just do whatever he calls you to do. But may we give our lives to Christ at this time. Amen? And may we go all the way till we go home to glory or he comes back and gets us. Amen? With that, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll have a hymn of invitation in just a moment. Father, we come to you today, and Lord, we're grateful to you. Thank you for your goodness to us and your kindness. Lord, help us to realize that the clock is ticking, the time is going by, and it goes by pretty quickly. Lord, we don't have a second chance to do this over again. When the time goes by us, it's gone for good. So help us to redeem the time. Help us to yield our hearts to Christ now, whether we're young or middle-aged or older. May we be an example to those around us. Lord, may people just know that we love you, and that we want to just serve you with all of our hearts. If there's somebody here without Christ, I pray you'll work in their hearts and bring them to you. We thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.